Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Good evening, New Orleans, and welcome to WWL's NBA Draft Special. Been looking forward to this for a bit. I just found out I was going to be hosting this a couple days ago, and I was excited about it. I've been a guest host on this station many, many times, but it's been at least two or three years, so it's nice to be back in the seat. I have Jeff Nowak along with me. Yo. Jeff is a digital sports producer for WWL and does so much more. He was at training camp this morning. He's an Iron Man, and he's working a full 24-hour shift with us right now. And welcome in, Jeff. How you doing, my friend? Are you making it all right after being at camp so early in the morning?
I'm good. The eyes are still open, but if I stumble over some words, keep in mind that I'm dead inside. No, just keeping track of the draft. I'll admit that I just had a minor panic attack because I saw the Pelicans flash up on the TV for the draft. And I was like, oh, no, they traded up to make a pick. But no, that's not what happened. That is the number 10 pick, which is traded to the Grizzlies. But because the NBA, for whatever reason, wants to confuse me, they always still flash up the team who had the pick originally, make the guy walk out there in the wrong team's hat, and that's what will also happen at 17. So the Grizzlies made their pick. They took Zaire Williams out of Stanford, which I thought that was a bit of a stretch. I thought it was he's a guy who I thought would be in play for the Pelicans at 17. The Grizzlies got him at 10. And then it looks like James Bouknight, a personal favorite of mine, as I mentioned, a UConn fan, went to the Hornets. They replaced one former UConn point guard with another. They had Kemba Walker. They traded him to the Celtics. Now they get another UConn star.
Explain that real quick, what you mean as far as, Bouknight being a personal fan. I want to let people know your background. Obviously, you love basketball. I could tell from just the last hour of you being on air, your passion for it, and also talking to you the last couple of days. But give me your background, and why do you love UConn basketball so much?
That was pretty simple. I grew up in Connecticut about 15 minutes from the university, so we always went to UConn fans over at Gamble Pavilion. And, I'm still a huge fan. James Bouknight, dude's a show. I mean, UConn has kind of fallen on rough times from the Hilton Armstrong days. But this kid, joke there.
That's a Pelicans first round pick.
This kid is legit. He can leap. He can shoot. He just glides across the floor. The Hornets has got a steal, I think.
Well, we're talking in live right now because they're on the 11th pick of the draft. That Bouknight, who I actually had going sixth overall myself, he dropped to 11. The guy's just a pure scorer. He can score from all over the place, puts the ball in the hoop. But as far as, let's do a little recap so far. We're going to get to the Pelicans where they originally had the 10th pick of the draft. And as most of you here in New Orleans know, maybe those that are listening other places might not, they made the trade earlier in the week to get Jonas Valanciunas in here, and they dropped from 10 to 17. They shedded a bunch of salary, which was much needed, maybe a little bit of bad attitude as well. I mean, that's up to perception. But from what I saw from my seat, Eric Bledsoe didn't really enjoy being there. I know some of the team backed him up and took up for him during the season. However, I just know what I saw, and I know there were several games that he probably cost the team himself. But Bledsoe's gone, and he's in Memphis. And also, you have Steven Adams gone. So the picks were moved. Obviously, when you had to shed salary, you gave up a little extra because they know that you're in need of doing that. So you went from 10 to 17. Normally, when you got two players that are considered quality players, and you're giving them up, and then you're only getting one return, you would think you would be moving up in the draft, but that's not the case at all. So let's go ahead. We're going to also take our first guest, and because he's got a commitment right when the Pels pick in six picks, we're going to go straight to him. Locked On Pelicans host Jake Madison, who goes way back with me. Like, I haven't done radio regularly since 2014 or 15, maybe around 15, I guess, before I moved on to primetime sports television. But Jake was a mainstay guest with me in the early days of Jake doing Bourbon Street Shots back in the day before he was on Locked On. But Jake, it's like feels like old times again. It's been at least 6 years since we've done this way. But welcome to the show. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. We go way back, and thanks for having me on today.
Absolutely. I know you know my co-host, Jeff Nowak, as well. But as far as this draft goes right here, are there any surprises that you've seen at all? And do any of them relate possibly to where the Pels are reportedly picking at 17?
You know, I think it went a little bit off the rails from what a lot of experts predicted early on. Not necessarily in a bad way. It's just I think you saw that there were really four, five guys at the top of this draft. And then from maybe six to about 20, teams graded these guys out all very much the same. And that's why you saw what might look like a reach, but probably isn't, because it's the same kind of value type of player. We saw that, you know, really early on with Josh Giddey going six to Oklahoma City. You saw kind of a weird pick there in Davion Mitchell to the Sacramento Kings, taking another guard after they already have De'Aaron Fox, and they took a guard in the first round in Tyrese Haliburton last year. It's just one of those things where I think teams are getting the guy that they feel is good, and everyone has a bit of a different draft board in this situation. And when you look towards the Pelicans pick at 17, with the way this has gone so far, you know, they traded back, but they're in prime position to get a guy that could really, really help them, whether it's Corey Kispert out of Gonzaga, Alperen Şengün, the international player. You've got Moses Moody out of Arkansas there, Sharif Cooper from Auburn, or Trey Murphy from Virginia. They're going to get a guy that I think they feel really, really good about, and they probably had graded way higher than 17.
Yeah, and I think that's an interesting point, because like I said before you came on, Zaire Williams was a guy that I was looking at, you know, maybe potentially could fall to the Pelicans at 17. He went to the Grizzlies, who they traded with, which is kind of a twist of the knife. But, you know, what would be kind of your indication of where the Pelicans should go with this pick? Should they focus on a certain type of prospect? Should they focus on shot making, shot development? Spacing, what would be your target for Jake Madison, the GM, in the alternate universe?
You know, I think they need to add shooting. They need to add a guy that shoots the three ball. I think it would be very tantalizing for them if Alperen Şengün is there, because he's an analytics darling and probably the most high upside guy left there. But at the same point, they need to put a winner around Zion Williamson. The easiest way you're going to do that is focusing on one discernible skill, and you're going to be able to get a shooter at 17. Whether that's Corey Kispert, who doesn't have the highest ceiling, but he has a higher floor, I think, can make an impact right away. Maybe it's kind of that prototypical 3-and-D wing in Moses Moody, who had a chance to go in the top 10 at one point. So I think they're going to prioritize shooting and maybe another skill, rebounding, defense, something like that. But also, let's not rule out them trading the pick. They've been active, I can tell you this, in trade discussions, trying to move this to bring in more veteran help, potentially expanding upon the trade they made with the Memphis Grizzlies, turning it into a 3 or 4 team trade even potentially. I wouldn't be shocked if they're burning up the phones right now, particularly with a number of really good prospects left. Maybe the pick is gaining value as this draft gets a little bit wild for us.
Hey, when you look at the free agency and you look at the money that Griffin saved and brought back in with salary cap space, are there any guys out there that you say, hey, this should be a guy that the Pelicans should target for, you know, to go along with, obviously, their nucleus of Zion Williamson and Brandon Ingram?
Yeah, you know, they can go in a number of different directions, and clearing, you know, as of right now, right around $36 million or so, depending on how one or two things shake out. They're clearly making a run, I think, to try and bring in Kyle Lowry and seeing if he can kind of be the Chris Paul to the New Orleans Pelicans here, with what Chris Paul did for the Suns, really vaulting them from not being in the playoffs to into the NBA Finals and taking that series to six games. I think they can see some of a similar turnaround by adding that veteran guy that can kind of calm the team down, add what they need on this roster. And I think they're going to make a run at a guy like that, but I don't know if they'll actually be able to get him. And if not, they're still in a good position. You could use some of that money to trade for a guy like Malcolm Brogdon. You could try and go after a restricted free agent like Duncan Robinson to try and bring that elite shooting to space the court a little bit better for Zion Williamson and Brandon Ingram. So there's, you can look at all of the different paths that they could take, and there's so many out there right now that it's kind of an exciting time. It makes it tough to really try and predict what they're going to do, but they could literally almost do anything right now, and we'll find out in the next couple of picks what direction that might be going, if they move on from this pick or not.
Well, Bama's Josh Primo just went with the 12th pick, which even opens it up a little more than what you were just talking about as far as some of those guys that they thought might not be available possibly falling to them. What did you think about that pick and how it relates to the Pels' chances?
You know, that puts the guys that they've brought in for workouts, I think, a little bit closer to their reach. I think they're probably eyeing Trey Murphy with 17 if they keep it. And I think, you know, he's going to be available there. Sharif Cooper out of Auburn makes a lot of sense for them. Primo's the youngest guy in the draft. This is a guy that has high, high upside as a scorer that they're really taking kind of a big swing on. And I think the Spurs here are just really hoping that they know how to develop talent and do what they've done for the past 20, 25 years or so. That's definitely a reach to take him at 12. And I've seen Indiana's going to draft Duarte out of Oregon, so that takes a shooter off the board for New Orleans. But this is shaking out pretty well for them. They dropped from 10 to 17, moving back seven spots, and they're going to get the guy that they probably would have liked at 10, I think. And let's not rule out Cameron Thomas out of LSU as well here. So they've got a number of guys on the board that I think they're going to feel really, really happy about. And this probably elevates the trade, I think, in most people's opinion, that they made the other day with the Memphis Grizzlies.
So one of my reads on the situation, and especially after the Jonas Valanciunas trade, which I was a big fan of, I'm curious what your take is on that. But one of the things that it seems like this season specifically, David Griffin is, you know, making a concerted effort to build the team he wants. It felt like his first two seasons have been things happening that he had to deal with. There was no choice. You had to trade Anthony Davis. You had to trade Jrue Holiday. You had to deal with whatever you could get with Eric Bledsoe. You know, you were able to get Steven Adams, but it was kind of a fourth situation. And it feels like as he goes forward, you know, firing Stan Van Gundy, it wasn't a good fit. He brings in a guy who he thinks is a good fit in Willie Green. You know, you make this trade, you kind of create the situation you want. Do you think that's a healthier situation? It feels like the way things are developing in this offseason just fits the narrative of a team that wants to build that, quote, sustainable future a lot better than what had been happening.
To a degree, you know, I don't think this is he's building the team that he wants. I think he's being more proactive than he's been able to be in his first 2 years. And right. You can see that in this trade to clear the salary, to be aggressive in free agency, to really have the flexibility to make the moves that he's wanted. I do not think David Griffin is thrilled that they're under a little bit of pressure from Zion Williamson to try and win right now and to get into the playoffs next season. I think he'd like another year of stockpiling assets, trying to take upside plays in the draft. I don't know if that's what he's going to be able to do right now. I don't think he's going to be thrilled about potentially signing Kyle Lowry to a 3-year, $80 to $90 million deal. I don't think that's the way he wants to do it, because certainly that's not quite that sustainable future, I think, when you're signing a guy who's 35, going to be 36 during the season to a 3-year deal, putting him closer to, you know, whatever age it's going to be, 40. I don't think that's what he wants, but I think he's at least being proactive about the situation. And as you said, not kind of reacting, right? He had to trade Anthony Davis. Jrue Holiday asked out, you had to trade him, right? Now you can kind of at least do what you want to do, and you're not beholden to some of those requests, and you can go out and build what you think is the best roster, not just taking back guys like Eric Bledsoe and other pieces in a trade because you had to move on from your guy. You can go and get who you want right now, and I think that's what he's looking to do, and he's given himself the flexibility to go out and do that.
Yeah, you make a good point that I don't think a lot of win-now type Pelicans fans get. You know, I mean, you are mortgaging a little bit of the future. You are going against really a philosophy that probably David Griffin doesn't have, you know? I mean, he doesn't really want to get these veteran guys in there. But if you were the GM and knowing what the fan base is about and By the way, would you go do this deal with to get Lowry? Because it doesn't make a whole lot of sense other than the fact that you want to possibly win some games next year and keep the fans somewhat interested.
Look, I don't even think it's about the fans, right? I think it's about Zion Williamson. And we've heard the rumors of a little bit of unhappiness with him and his family. I can confirm all of that. You know, it's a guy who is an elite NBA player and wants to start kind of developing and building his legacy. And you only do that by getting into the playoffs and having playoff success. And he'd like to do that, you know, in his third year, particularly with the past 2 years not really going well. You fired two head coaches. They were kind of disastrous. You couldn't even get the 10th seed in the Western Conference when you have two all-stars in Zion Williamson and Brandon Ingram. It's not a good look. This is kind of time to show Zion Williamson that we can build a winner. Is Kyle Lowry the right guy? Look, I'd be nervous about giving him $80 to $90 million over 3 years and putting him closer to 40 than not 40. But if it helps you win, I think you do that because it's more you're still thinking further ahead about signing Zion Williamson to a second contract and not having him be the first guy that kind of turns down that big extension and decides to test, you know, unrestricted free agency as early as possible. That would scare me a lot. You know, that's a good way to get fired if you're the front office here. So I think there's a bit of a calculated risk in what they're doing. It's not ideal, but you've got to deal with what you've been dealt, right? And I think that's kind of what they're doing here. And it really comes down to, do you think Kyle Lowry is going to be productive over the next 2 or 3 years, or is he going to fall off? Is his game going to age like Chris Paul's has, or is it going to age kind of like Kemba Walker's has, which has been on a decline and makes him a little bit more of an expendable asset, and we saw the Boston Celtics trade him because of that. But if you feel comfortable that he's going to be a Chris Paul kind of player, yes, certainly, there's risk. But if he can get you into the playoffs, if it makes Zion Williamson happy and he signs a big 5-year extension, you're going to feel good about that move every single day, and you'll figure it out later down the line.
How dare you besmirch my first true love in Kemba Walker. No, but you were 100% correct. You saw what happened to the Celtics. You know, they were relying on him to be that guy, and he wasn't. And because he made such a huge chunk of change in the salary cap, you were very limited in what you could do around him. But yeah, I think you make a really good point, which is this the similar situation to the Suns adding Chris Paul and just immediately vaulting into the Western Conference elite? Is Kyle Lowry still that guy? He feels like that type of player, that type of leader, which I think is what you're paying to bring in rather than the talent. It's a guy who understands how to win. One thing you could say about this Pelicans group, as talented as they are, none of them have ever won at the NBA level. None of them have made the playoffs at the NBA level other than Jonas Valanciunas. Now, is this a team that with the right leadership, with the right leader on the floor, that can make the playoffs? Because I felt like losing Rondo a few seasons ago was a huge part of the Pelicans falling off. Can they get that back with a guy like Lowry?
You know, that's kind of the million-dollar question with it. I guess we should say that's like the $30 million
right.
question kind of about it here, because that's kind of what you're paying for. It's not so much the production. He'll be a productive enough player for you, even if he starts to decline in his game, right? He's still going to be able to give you probably 15 points, 7 to 8 assists per game, but he's such a tough player out there that plays until the final whistle, plays hard in losses, throws his body on the line taking stupid charges that he probably shouldn't do. But you know what? He swung games like that against Kawhi Leonard, no less at times, and other players like that to really kind of swing games and other things. And it's an important skill to have. And if you can have these young guys pick up on some of that, I think that's a very, very valuable skill to try and teach them, just being competitive. We saw this Pelicans team last year get punched in the face early on in a game and just completely fold. You know, they were down 10-2 to start a game, and the game was over at that point. You didn't need to watch the next, you know, 30-plus minutes of this basketball game when that happened. Can you bring a guy on the court that helps with some of that, has some composure, is a bit of an extension on the coach out there, and can organize these guys, keep them playing tough? That's a really, really important thing, because that has been lacking from this Pelicans team the past couple of years. And if they think that's the guy, it's probably worth that investment. And the other thing to keep in mind when it comes to Kyle Lowry is they still have a ton of picks, a bunch of the Lakers picks and pick swaps, same with the Milwaukee Bucks, plus their own picks. If it's that bad of a contract, they can probably find someone to dump that contract onto and sweeten the deal with some of these picks that they have and get off of that easier than, say, other teams, you know, could do. So they're still going to be in a good position and still have a lot of flexibility. So I think they can take that risk. maybe greater than other teams can.
Jake Madison with Locked On Pelicans. I got one more for you before I let you go. Obviously, with the talk about Lowry possibly coming as a free agent, and you got the younger players at guard with Nickeil Alexander-Walker and, of course, last year's first-round pick, Kyra Lewis. What do you think the futures are with guys like Lonzo Ball and Josh Hart on this Pelicans team?
You know, it's going to depend what these trade talks maybe come down to at pick 17 and in the opening days of free agency. If they swing a trade for 17, bringing a guy like Joe Ingles or Bogdanovich from the Utah Jazz, who are maybe trying to dump them, I don't see him coming back. Particularly if they sign Kyle Lowry, they'd actually need to kind of get rid of the cap hold from Lonzo Ball, meaning they basically just can't re-sign him at that point. I'd say it's more likely than not that he's not going to be back here next season, but I'm not ready to rule it out completely. But it looks like he'll be moving on to another team, whether that's the Knicks or the Chicago Bulls. And I think the Pelicans are going to feel very comfortable with that if they have the type of offseason that they're looking for.
That's Jake Madison, everybody. Jake, it's just as fun as it used to be 5 years ago, my friend, or six, whatever that may be. But it's good to hear you on the radio again with me, and I enjoyed it very much, buddy. Thank you.
Of course. Thanks for having me on, you guys.
All right. Have a great night, Jake. I appreciate him. He's come a long, long way over the last 10 years, and he has become one of these guys that's a go-to on and NBA shows. Hey, real quick, also, Chris Duarte was picked by the Indiana Pacers. He's a 24-year-old guard out of Oregon. And just now, Golden State got themselves a baller, a guy that I hope might possibly fall to the Pelicans. Moses Moody from Arkansas, a one-and-doneer. He can play. So the Pelicans are only two or three picks away. So here we go. Pick 15, 16, and then 17 with the Pelicans. Hey, we're back. We're going to be right back with more coverage of the Pelicans and NBA draft special talk. It's Scott Alexander with Jeff Nowak here on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. Give us a call on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line, 504-260-1870. We'll be right back.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back to WWL's NBA Draft Special. We're talking Pelicans and, of course, the NBA Draft here on WWL. I'm Scott Alexander with Jeff Nowak. on WWLAMFM and .com and the Odyssey app. You can jump in the game on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. That's 504-260-1870. That's 504-260-1870. Feel free to text me. Feel free to call us. We'd love to talk to you. That was a great guest we just had in Jake Madison. My next guest is a legend in the broadcasting business, certainly in the NBA. He's been doing it for over a quarter of a century, and he's been in the broadcast business much longer than that. He's a true friend. When I did radio back a half dozen years or so ago for a few years there, he was a regular guest on my show, and I always enjoyed it because I always learned something from him. His name is Bob Rathbun. He is been with the Atlanta Hawks, like I said, for 25 years. I hate to even age him like that because he's a young man, but he's just very good at what he does. Bob, it's good to have you on. It's been quite a while, my friend. How you doing?
Hey, Scott. I'm doing great. Thank you. How are you guys doing tonight?
Doing well. I'm with You're Jeff great. Nowak over here. He's a digital sports producer over here for WWL. Does a great job. But first and foremost, I've got to give it up for the Atlanta Hawks this season. That was the story of the year for many people. Getting all the way to the conference finals, remarkable run. Talk about it and talk about what it was like for you personally, because I know you've had some good teams. I remember when I was with you, we had the Dikembe Mutombo, Steve Smith, Mookie Blaylock, Christian Laettner teams, and then obviously you had some run with Josh Smith and Al Horford and those squads, Mike Bibby, and more recently you had some decent ones. But this one was a little bit magical.
It was amazing. Where we were at the coaching change on the 1st of March, we were thinking, are we going to be good enough to even get in the play-in tournament? And once Nate McMillan took over, guys, it was a different story. The team caught fire. They got healthy. Lloyd Pierce would have benefited from that as well. But I don't know that anyone could have seen this coming, the dramatic change in every aspect. They were blowing games in the fourth quarter. They started winning games in the fourth quarter. They became a better defensive team. Trey became a better point guard. And it all seemingly happened overnight. When Nate took over, they won their first eight. They never looked back. They caught fire at the right time. They were much, much better than the Knicks. We proved that. And people who were studying it knew it going in. I don't think the national press, of course, they're always the last ones to know. But I think once we got past the Knicks, that kind of got everybody's attention. And then to go in and win three road games in Philadelphia, including game seven, was really quite remarkable. So many interesting nuggets and stats about this Atlanta team, but this one, Scotty, will really floor you. Last year, the season before, the Hawks won six road games total. Okay, at the stop of the season of the pandemic, we won six road games. Wow. This Hawks team won six playoff road games.
It felt like they won six in a row for a while there. I mean,
it is unbelievable, and did things that that no team in Atlanta history has ever done to get two wins away from the NBA Finals. And you just had that feeling. It was kind of that magical run that teams get on that had Trey not sprained his ankle and had the foot bone bruise in his foot by stepping on Sean Wright's foot, they may have beaten Milwaukee. Without Giannis, they may have beaten him because they had no answer for Trey. Milwaukee lost one home game in the playoffs, and it was to Atlanta, and that was the night that Trey got 48. So they thought they had an excellent chance had Trey stayed healthy. But it was great. I think it's – you guys have been around pro sports long enough to know it's the best of both worlds. You're thrilled and excited with what you accomplished, but you're hungry for more. And that hunger and that desire will drive them in the offseason. The workouts will be sharper and crisper. They can't wait to get back in the gym. And that's just what you want.
Yeah, I think most people watching could see that Trey just was a shell of himself late in that series against the Bucks. I mean, after that injury, he just didn't look right. You know, he gutted it out, but he was clearly limited. I think the point this season that I really came to realize the Hawks were legit contenders was in the third quarter when the Pelicans played them. I think they reined in 12 threes and just wiped them off the face of the earth. And I was like, this team is doing this without all of the players that they have at their disposal. I mean, they spent a lot of the season without Cam Reddish, without DeAndre Hunter. And these are guys that I've always kind of linked them and the Pelicans because of that draft day trade a few years ago where the Pelicans sent the number four pick what brought them DeAndre Hunter, and they got back, you know, what turned into Jackson Hayes and Nikhil Alexander Walker. And it just, it feels like the Hawks at this point fleeced the Pelicans in that deal, just how it all turned out. I'm curious what your kind of opinion is on that and kind of how the Hawks kind of keep rising, if you will, from this point, whereas the Pelicans kind of, it felt like they had this, a similar scenario a few years ago, and then everything fell apart the next season.
Yeah, you never quite know, you know, how it's going to all turn out, that's for sure. I do know that we moved heaven and earth to get DeAndre Hunter. He was the guy they identified that they wanted to get their hands on, and it seemed to us draft night that was a lot of capital to burn on a guy like Hunter with the fourth pick in the draft. But one thing we've learned, I think, over the past year is do not underestimate Travis Schlenk, the general manager. He hit the home run with Trey. You know, it will always be debated with Luka. I got that. But when you consider you get Trey, you get Cam, you get DeAndre Hunter, you get Collins at 19, you get Herter at 19, that's not too bad. And, you know, the downside of tanking success, of course, is when the bill comes due and all these guys start coming up for that second contract. But Travis has done a masterful job in getting the guys that he wants. You know, it might not be the guys that, you know, the draft experts see coming. It might not be the guys that the media is all that familiar with, but it's the guys that Travis wants. And I think they really lucked into, and we say thank you to Indiana and Houston on a nightly basis. We say thank you to the Pacers for getting rid of Nate McMillan. He falls into our lap. He turns out to be the right guy, the perfect guy, the old school coach meets the new school players. Perfect marriage, and it worked out great. And then we say thank you every night to Daryl Morey for giving us Clint Capella, who changed everything in the middle. He led the league in rebounding, led the league in offensive rebounding. He was dynamite. And you put it all together, and you got a team to put together a magical run at the end.
For Pelicans fans out there, another shooter's off the board. For Pelicans fans out there, Corey Kispert from Gonzaga just went with the 15th pick to the Washington Wizards. Going forward, Bob, looking from the outside looking in, obviously you know the NBA as well as anybody I know, and you see the Pelicans and you see the pieces they have. What do they need?
Oh boy, the thing that
that much, huh?
Yeah. I don't know if it
we feel
is.
The same way.
The one thing about this, when you're going to go with young guys, you got the mix is so crucial. You know, when you're sitting there with a guy like Zion, you just think it's all going to just magically come together. And sometimes the pieces just don't fit. And you've got to be able to, I think, maybe swallow some pride and move some people before maybe it's fashionable. I just think when you've had as much turnover in the coaching chair that you've had – with young players, they don't quite know how to adjust to all that. Veteran guys can handle it a lot differently. I know it was, for our young guys, it was just shocking that Lloyd was let go. It's not like there was a big honeymoon with the guys. I mean, Trey had his issues, and some of the new guys that came to our team had issues with Lloyd that we didn't even know about because we were, you know, we're not around practice, we didn't travel last year. So you never quite know what's going on in the clubhouse. But I will say this, that once you've got that, the right coach at the right time for these young guys that need coaching, they need guidance, they need discipline, when it does fall together, then you'll see some of the turnaround that I know you all are anticipating. But until that right click happens, you know, on the lock, you get the right combination, it's not going to happen. And so sometimes you got to go through and make, you know, go through a lot of pain to finally get there at the end. But you got a great starting point. You know, that big fella is a special player, that's for sure.
Well, Bob, I appreciate you very much. I know you have a pick coming up later in the draft. I think you guys are 20 right after the Pelicans at 17.
Yeah, we are. We're 20 and 48, and I have absolutely no idea who we're going to pick. We ran, guys, 90 guys.
Oh, my goodness.
Through.
Oh, my goodness.
90. Now, that's because, you know, we're cranking back up the G League team and we're putting the Summer League team together and all that. But to pick 20th and 48 to have 90 guys come through, no idea what they're going to do.
Right, it's like an NFL training camp roster at that
basically
point.
Basically, it really? Is, right?
It's like, take a number, young man, and sit over there in the corner. We'll call you. It was crazy. But we'll find out here in a minute. And, I'm doing TBT for ESPN this weekend and Tuesday night. And my sideline gal, who I absolutely adore, is Jen Hale.
Oh, my goodness. So, she's one of our favorites.
Jen, she'll be with us. And love seeing her. She'll be back. She went home for a couple of days. She'll be back tomorrow night. And we'll all have dinner tomorrow, so we're looking forward to seeing her.
I remember y'all doing this last summer. Okay, that's right. All right, well, you tell Jen I said hello.
We were in Indianapolis, and they were in Columbus.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right.
This was the first organization that played once the pandemic hit.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, tell Jen hello for all of us. I appreciate you so much, Bob. Thank you.
We'll do, buddy. Anytime.
That is Bob Rathbun, the voice of the Atlanta Hawks, and has been doing that for over 25 years, and one of my favorite guys. So I appreciate him very much. Hey, we're going to be we'll be right back with more Pelicans and NBA draft coverage. I'm Scott Alexander with Jeff Nowak here on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're talking Pelicans and NBA draft on WWL. Scott Alexander here with Jeff Nowak on WWL, AM, FM, and .com. And the Odyssey app. You can jump in the game right here on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line at 504-260-187. You can call us or you can text. We do have a couple on here. We'll get to that in a second. The Pelicans are on the clock right now after a big trade. Houston moved up to 16.
We have a name.
And I know the name very well. Do you want to say it?
Trey Murphy, according to Sham Sharania of The Athletic. They are getting Trey Murphy, a guy we talked about a little earlier. Great pick, I think. Unless this is the one time in history, Shams is wrong. It's exactly what they need.
Well, Bobby Hebert is going to be excited. He was talking about it before. Shoots 43% from three. Trey Murphy, obviously a former Rice player, went to UVA. Great player, great shooter. He's got nice size and range. You were talking about him, Jeff, earlier as a guy. If you're going to get a shooter, why not get somebody that's got some range as well and that's got wingspan and can play a little defense?
Right, 6'9", 200 pounds, played at Virginia. All they talk about at Virginia is that pack line defense. For a team that wants to embrace a defensive culture, Willie Green talked about that specifically. Virginia's a good place to start. That's what they do every year.
I love the pick. That's one of the guys I had zoomed in on early. This guy's a smart kid, too. He's bright. He's got a good future. UVA. Sometimes those guys that go pro take a little bit before they have success in the NBA, but some of them hit on and they end up doing really well. Joe Harris with Brooklyn being one of them. One of them escapes me. Another UVA guy recently that has come on like
Kyle
Joe
guy.
Harris. We'll figure it out in a second. But
Brogdon?
Yeah. Brogdon's another one. Brogdon's another one who I thought Milwaukee let go a little too soon.
DeAndre Hunter.
DeAndre Hunter's another one with the Hawks. But yeah,
when you win a title, a lot of you guys end up going to the NBA.
But UVA is cranking them out right now.
Right.
What do you think how this affects the Pelicans this season coming up?
I mean, it's that piece that you wish they'd added 3 years ago. You know, it's that DeAndre Hunter that you could have added 2 years ago. It's, you know, whatever you want to say. It's they've been just a glaring hole has been just a wing that can defend and shoot and stretch the floor and just stand in the corner on offense. Just stand there. Do what Josh Hart does, except make the shot. I am a huge Josh Hart fan. I don't think that
he missed a lot of shots.
I mean, he makes shots. He makes big shots. He just can't hit a corner three to save his life. But and it's the shot he has to be able to hit,
right?
Because he basically was a wing. You know, he's an undersized wing on that team. And I don't think I'll break Josh's heart by saying he just couldn't. He can't make that corner three. Just doesn't shoot his ball flight. I don't know. He just can't make them. And hopefully Trey can. But one way or another, you're adding a guy who profiles to be a knockdown shooter, a guy who you can hit and trust, a guy you can't leave to triple team Zion in the post. And that's what the Pelicans needed, so I'm glad they got it.
Well, so those at home who I don't believe have seen this yet, I guess we ruined it for them if they're watching live and turn down the volume like they do
for
the Saints game. Spoiler alert. But the Twitter world is always much, much faster. I learned that a long time ago.
Tell you what happens at the end of Loki next.
Yeah, please do. Please do. Moving forward, though, what do you think about Pelicans free agency? I mean, we talked to Jake Madison. You and I haven't even conversed yet. What are your thoughts there?
I mean, one of the big questions for me was, do the Pelicans make a trade prior to making the pick, right? Do they kind of force the issue a little bit there and have that affect what they can do in free agency? And that wasn't the case. They picked at 17, at least so far. They could still theoretically trade it, but it leaves all the doors open for whatever they choose to do.
Well, we've got at least 2+ more hours. We're coming up near the end of the hour. I don't want to miss out on this commercial, so we're going to come right back, continue that talk about possible moves in free agency, maybe talk a little bit about their second round where they do have 3 picks, at least right now they do, at 35, 43, 51. And we're going to talk a little bit more about Trey Murphy III. So, hey, if you want to give us a call and ask about him and maybe how he fits on this Pelicans team, we'd love to hear from you, 504-260-1870. Or if you just want to text that same number. We'll be back coming here with more coverage of the Pelicans and this NBA draft. I'm Scott Alexander with Jeff Nowak right here at WWL. There are certain songs that need to run a little longer than others, and that is one of those right there. Hey, we're back talking Pelicans and NBA draft on WWL. Scott Alexander here with Jeff Nowak on WWL AM, FM, and .com and the Odyssey app. You can jump in this game. Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line 504-260-1870. I did have a couple calls earlier, then I accidentally let them go. So call back if you're listening. It's a while since I've been on this side.
We do want to talk to you.
I will let the board up do his job from now on, I promise. Hey, Jeff, real quick, talking back. This is a guy that was just drafted by the Pelicans literally about 5 minutes ago, Trey Murphy III. He started his career at Rice. He went to UVA, so you know he's not a dumb guy. I mean, those are two very good schools. But also, what's more important for this Pelicans team, he shot 43.4% from three on a Power 5 team that was an NCAA champion just a couple seasons ago. But he also is a guy that shoots a bunch of them. So it's not just him shooting a few and getting that great percentage. He shoots about 5 a game. So what are your thoughts on what he can provide instantly for this Pelicans team? I know we kind of skirted around a little bit before, but now you had a little bit to think about it.
Yep, and don't mind me. I'm just trying to post a quick story because it's also part of my job. But, yeah, I mean, Trey, you know, if you never watched him play, one of the things that you'll notice immediately, those arms are long. You know, Pelicans are a team that already has Brandon Ingram, a very similar build player. He's more of a mid-range guy. That's not what you're getting in Trey Murphy from, you know, what I have seen. You're getting a guy who's going to shoot the three, and he's going to threaten teams from three. And I just can't say enough how brutal it was to watch the Pelicans try to win games last year with incompetent shooting. And that might sound harsh, but there's no other way to describe it. It was just horrid, horrid shooting.
Especially when you see other teams with guys that just knock them down. I was watching
it's
the Hawks.
It's a shooting league. Everybody can shoot now.
The Hawks had five guys. I tweeted this, and I hated to do it because I love shooting. That's the one thing I felt I could do. And I just hated to see that the Pels didn't have any knockdown shooters. But the one thing I can honestly say, the Hawks had five guys that I could say shot better than anybody on the Pelicans. And the Hawks weren't a team that was predicted or projected to go any further than the Pelicans before the season, and they got all the way to the conference finals. Now, there's a lot of other factors that go into that. Trey Young played out of his mind, and you got some good help from some guys that you might not expected. But still, it's that alone, along with Phoenix, the rise of those two teams shows that things can happen overnight. You know, and I think that's one of the reasons that we do hear all this talk, like Jake Madison said, about bringing a guy like Kyle Lowry, a veteran that normally, if you're a GM like David Griffin or vice president of basketball operations, like he has been, he likes to bring from the ground level up. But, you know, bringing a veteran in like Chris Paul was brought in, obviously, with the Phoenix Suns, you know, Kyle Lowry, can they capture magic in that bottle once again? I'm not positive. But going forward, what are other pieces this team needs?
Well, you know, a lot of it depends on what you do with Lonzo Ball. A lot of it depends on what you do in free agency. But and it also depends, you know, do you plan to continue point Zion? I don't think anyone's absolutely green yet how he plans to deploy Zion in that kind of facilitator role. But, you know, you need connectors, as Mason Ginsburg always puts it. You need guys who can move the ball. You don't want guys who are going to dominate the ball, because that's not how this team is going to win games. This is not an ISO team outside of Brandon Ingram. So you need ball movers. You need a Jay Crowder type, in my opinion, just someone who's going to play selfless defense, get out there, always be there, and I think you'll see a much improved team.
1 hour down. We've got two to go. The Pelicans still have three more draft picks, so we'll be right back with more coverage of the Pelicans in the NBA draft. Scott Alexander here with Jeff Nowak right here on WWL. Stay tuned.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.